First, we, the citizens of America, are now joined in a great national effort to rebuild our country and restore its promise for all of our people. Because today, we are not merely transferring power from one administration to another, or from one party to another, but we are transferring power from Washington, D.C., and giving it back to you, the people.
Hold on to your seats. Buckle up for safety. You are now entering another dimension with the Scott Adams Show.
And that's right. My name is Scott Adams. You're listening to the Scott Adams Show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. And today we're going to be talking about the Mayorkas impeachment delay. It's a delay. And so a lot of people are wondering why it's being delayed, being sent over to the Senate. And it's because, apparently, it's because Chuck Schumer's playing some games, wants to table it. And so some Senate Republicans were talking about that. Regardless, it's going to be major optics for Democrats to explain away. And in states, they barely won. So some of these senators that are up for re-election are going to have some explaining to do. Some Democrats that are in redder states are going to have some trouble explaining what's going on with Mayorkas and the southern border. I have some audio that I wanted to share with you with regard to something that's coming up from Maria Bartiromo. She had an exchange on this that I used to, basically learn a little bit about this. And I thought it was a pretty good exchange. So we're going to go ahead and cover that. Also, so we're going to cover that in a little bit. But Donald Trump is obliterating another Republican senator, Lindsey Graham. How do you like that? On Truth Social. So it's about time, right? Trump is especially calling out Graham for his stance on abortion, saying it won't win elections. I blame myself for Lindsey Graham, because the only reason he won in the great state of South Carolina is because I endorsed him. Senator Lindsey Graham and Marjorie Dannenfelser should study the 10th Amendment and states' rights. When they do, they should proudly get on with helping Republicans to win elections rather than making it impossible for them to do so. Senator Lindsey Graham is doing a great disservice for the Republican Party and to our country. So this is, people forget fighting Roe v. Wade. So Donald Trump truthed this. People forget that fighting Roe v. Wade was right from the beginning all about bringing the issue back to the states. That's what it was. Pursuant to the 10th Amendment, and states' rights. It wasn't about anything else. After we won Marjorie Dannenfelser of Small Business Administration and Lindsey Graham started saying, no, let's go back to the federal government with 0 weeks. And when they go nowhere, they upped it to 6 weeks. And more recently, they upped it to 15 weeks. And we're obviously willing to take the number upward, because they were getting nowhere with the Democrats. And they never will, because the Democrats would never give up on this issue, no matter how many weeks the Republicans went, even if they want unlimited abortion. We had a great victory. It's back in the states where it belongs and where everyone wanted it. The states will be making this decision. Republicans are now free to run for office based on the horrible border inflation. Republicans are now free to run for office based on the horrible border inflation, bad economy, and the 10th and the death and destruction of our country. All right. Senator Lindsey Graham and Marjorie Denfelter should study the 10th Amendment and states' rights. When they do, it's another truth from Trump. They should proudly get on with helping Republicans to win elections rather than making it impossible for them to do so. And then he also truthed, I blame myself for Lindsey Graham because the only reason he won in the great state of South Carolina is because I endorsed him. Yeah, I always wondered about that relationship. Lindsey Graham is just a real, real warmongering piece of crap. What can I say? I mean, just take a listen. Well, let's take a listen to this. I'm not sure if I read this one. President Trump tells Senator Lindsey Graham to pound sand. Senator Lindsey Graham should spend more time focusing on all of the people being killed because of our new non-existent border and the millions of people dying in senseless, never-ending wars that he constantly favors and promotes, and should spend less time on taking away our great Roe v. Wade victory of sending a complicated and controversial issue back to the states where, according to highly respected legal scholars on both sides, it belongs. The Democrats are thrilled with Lindsey because they want this issue to simmer for as long as a period of time as possible. They are destroying our country, and they don't want to talk about inflation, a bad economy, the horrible open border, rigged elections, Afghanistan, Ukraine, Russia, or the attack on Israel, all of which would never have happened if I were president. Great job, Lindsey. So that's another one. So Lindsey Graham was quoted in saying this. Okay, so we're going to take a listen to some Lindsey Graham to let you know what you're talking about. Then we're going to talk about what happened in Arizona, because Arizona, what they did was they banned abortion in a court ruling. So that's interesting, because that's going to become a weaponized topic in the fight for Arizona. And it is a state's right. So could that have hurt Trump's chances in picking up Arizona, considering the fact that the abortion issue, in its moderate sense, is a more winnable argument than in its extreme senses? Nobody wants infanticide. Nobody supports late-term abortions. The polls on that are very, very clear. And a large portion of people support inception and with exceptions. But inception and no exceptions, rape and incest and all these things, are probably not a winning position to be in if you're a conservative or a Christian conservative. And the thing is that, the federal government shouldn't have any sway on this topic. It's not written in the Constitution. There's nothing in the Constitution that says anything about abortion. There's nothing in the Constitution that says anything about voter ID either, which therein lies the problem with the voter ID topic. If you're a citizen living on the land, but they didn't have a lot of rules for citizenship back then. They did a census and you were a citizen, but now it's all mucked up because we have a census that doesn't even ask you whether you're a citizen or not. So the courts have weighed in on that and said, you don't have to be a citizen to be a citizen. You don't have to be a U.S. citizen to be serviced by your government. By the government to which for the land that you stand on, really, which is the argument. The government for if I were to travel to France, right, or if I were to travel to Italy, and I'm walking on that soil, I'm protected by the police in that country, and I'm not a citizen. I'm a tourist, right? If I'm in Acapulco or anywhere, and I'm a tourist in Mexico or in Europe, in any country, and I'm just a tourist, I have protections and rights from that country. So therein lies the rub for a voter ID restriction. So again, it's a states' rights issue, and what you want to do is compel the states that you want voter ID. And that's why this has become such a difficult challenge for election integrity. And the same holds true with the abortion issue. Again, the federal government shouldn't be telling you what you should do with your body, but it should also have mandates and rules that suggest that a child's life is protected. And what the Democrats have been allowed to get away with is couch the argument in conception with no exceptions. And that's where they wanted to live out their argument. And the Republicans did a very poor job in 2022 in positioning the argument around infanticide. Every time a Democrat was asked, so up to what point do you support abortion? The Democrat would get away with not answering that question. And that was the fail. That was the big fail there. So this issue is going to be a big issue, but it's definitely not a federal issue. It's a states' rights issue. For those people in Arizona, for example, whose law passed that abortions of any type have been banned, you're going to start to see then all these riots and protests and liberals up in arms about this because they love abortion for some reason. And here's the thing. There are going to be abortion clinics set up on the border of Arizona, whether it's New Mexico, whether it's Nevada, whether it's California, which I don't think borders Arizona. But what's going to happen is you're going to see all these abortion clinics in the states where it is legal. And so anybody in Arizona that says, my body, my choice, or says that somehow this is Armageddon is just hyperbole because they could easily drive 2 hours and get what they need to have done if that's their belief. And so I just think that Trump was right in positioning this as a winning argument. That's what I'm suggesting. I was actually looking up. Oh, yeah. So it's Nevada, Utah, and New Mexico that's around Arizona. So good luck in Utah, but to their north, but to their west it's Nevada, and to their east it's New Mexico. Oh, and California also. So California, Nevada, and New Mexico are all liberal states, or at least purple states, to where they're going to. Now, it's interesting that Arizona passed this law banning abortions. And again, this drives home the fact that Trump needs to win Arizona. Doesn't need to. I think he can win so many other ways. Like, for example, I think that RFK and his new sidekick, vice president candidate, RFK Jr., and then Shanahan, the I think it's pseudo-Asian woman that marries men for money, like the Google exec, and then went after Elon Musk. You know, basically, if you don't make $1 billion, you're not good enough for her. But in any case, she's a libtard. She's uber liberal, uber left, like as far left as you can ever get. She's Birkenstock wearing, granola eating left. And the thing is that's the kind of person that Californians love to vote for and New Yorkers love to vote for and Massachusetts love to vote for. So given that RFK is from Massachusetts, but he's also from New York, and given that Shanahan, his vice president pick, is a billionaire or a billionaires, and she's from California by way of Asia, you see the idea here is that they could trend well in California, New York, and Massachusetts, given their pedigree. And they could end up taking enough votes from Biden to where Trump could swoop in and grab all those delegates. Now, that would be a landslide of epic proportions. That would be amazing if that were to happen. I would love to see it. You know, but that would be a miracle. That would be an unprecedented, unbelievable miracle. So here's another thing. A staffer for Speaker Mike Johnson reportedly told a gathering of GOP staff yesterday that Speaker Johnson opposes the proposed warrant requirement amendment central to the week's 702 debate. In plain language, he's against requiring a warrant before spying on Americans. Congressional reporter Olivia Beavers says Johnson is expected to deliver his position in other meetings this week, even as we pretend that Brazil is about to become the worst dictatorship in the world, it might be good to realize that there seems to be more spying and censorship in the United States than in Brazil, although it makes us feel good that the devil's elsewhere and not here. May God help us deal with our hypocrisy. Yeah, we're allowing our country to be consumed by thieves. So I said to you I would have you listen to Lindsey Graham, just to get a dose of Lindsey Graham for those who might side with him on this abortion issue. He doesn't care about life. He never did. And he's a warmonger. And that's Lindsey Graham's problem. But here he is supporting Joe Biden at a time when this was in the lead up to the 2016 election.
If you can't admire Joe Biden as a person, then it's probably you got a problem. You need to do some self-evaluation. Because what's not to like? Here's what I can tell you. That life can change just like that. Don't take it for granted. Don't take relationships for granted. I called him after Bo died. And he basically said, well, Bo was my soul. We've talked for a long time. He came to my ceremony and said some of the most incredibly heartfelt things that anybody could ever say to me. And he's the nicest person I think I've ever met in politics.
Is that right?
He is as good a man as God ever created. And we don't agree on much. But I think he's been dealt a really gut blow. I think he focuses on what he's got to do, not what he lost. His heart's been ripped out, but he's going to make sure that the other members of his family is well taken care of. And he started talking about his grandkids. More worried about them than anything. We just talked about the future.
Yeah.
He started talking about the future of his family.
What a scumbag, right? Lindsey Graham is. So here's Lindsey Graham here.
Anonymous person can start impeachment proceedings against the President of the United States. You can't get a parking ticket based on an anonymous allegation. The hearings were held behind closed doors. The Intel Committee gathered all the facts. The President's lawyer was never allowed to participate. They asked to call witnesses.
This is a subtle nuance. I posted this years ago. So this was where Lindsey Graham wants to protect Joe Biden and Adam Schiff and does not want real Donald Trump attorneys to question under oath Alexandra Chalupa. Because of his own conflict of interest and utter hypocrisy by squashing the trial into silence. So he's acting like he's doing Trump a favor there, but he's not. Here's another one.
And you know how you make America great again? tell Donald Trump to go to hell.
That's another one. And then we got another one right here.
I'm not going to try to get into the mind of Donald Trump because I don't think there's a whole lot of space there. I think he's a kook. I think he's crazy. I think he's unfit for office. And I'm a Republican and he's not. He's not a conservative Republican. He's an opportunist. He could shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue and 25 or 30% of the people would still follow him because he gives a voice to their anger and their frustration. But he's not fit to be president of the United States.
Sounds like Hillary Clinton, right? Here's one.
I want to talk to the Trump supporters for a minute. I don't know who you are, and I don't know why you like this guy.
Now, this one is a medley. I said this was run by Trump adversaries, but it's important to revisit who was with Trump all along and who was not.
Whatever he does, he accuses everyone else of doing. The man cannot tell the truth, but he combines it with being a narcissist. A narcissist at a level I don't think this country's ever seen.
Now, I can give Ted Cruz a pass because he was running against Trump and he was pulling out all the stops. I can give Ted Cruz a
pass. And my concern is that he would grab
up Paul a pass.
That power and really treat the country as sort of his little bully fiefdom.
Donald Trump is everything I taught my children not to do in kindergarten.
He's been exploiting working Americans for 40 years.
Marco Rubio.
He's a race-baiting, xenophobic, religious bigot.
He says he's for the little guy,
Kellyanne Conway.
He's actually built a lot of his businesses on the backs of the little guy.
You know, Donald Trump the other day said
Pompeo.
That, quote, if he tells a soldier to commit a war crime, the soldier will just go do it.
And I don't think Donald Trump has even read the Constitution, knows what's in the Constitution.
A toxic mix of demagoguery and mean-spiritedness and nonsense.
Rick Perry, Governor of Texas.
I just cannot support Donald Trump.
Donald Trump is a delusional narcissist and an orange-faced windbag.
Donald Trump is a con artist.
He doesn't know the difference between truth and lies. He lies practically every word that comes out of his mouth.
I think he's a kook. I think he's crazy. I think he's unfit for office.
Yeah, so a lot of people, you know, they don't have to play that game of politics. Let's just talk about policy. Just that, just that, just do that, and we'll be fine. Here's Lindsey Graham talking to troops in Ukraine.
2017 will be the year of offense. All of us will go back to Washington, and we will push the case against Russia.
Ми всі повернемося до Вашингтону, і ми будемо відстоювати санкції проти Росії.
Enough of a Russian aggression.
He's standing there with John.
It is time for them to pay a heavier price.
They've been escalating this war for a decade.
Our fight is not with the Russian people, but with Putin.
Ми боремося не з російським народом, але з Путіним.
Our promise to you is to take your calls to Washington.
Наша обіцянка – це те, що ми вашу боротьбу доведемо до Вашингтону.
Inform the American people of your bravery.
Проінформуємо американський народ про вашу відважність.
And make the case against Putin to the world.
І покажемо про докази проти Путіна усьому світу.
I believe you will win.
Here's John
McCain.
I am
convinced you will win, and we will do everything we can to provide you with what you need to win.
Я вірю в те, що ви виграєте, переможете.
They've been saying this for how long now?
Тому, що ви переможете, і ми вам допоможемо.
Laundering operation.
And we have succeeded not because of equipment, but because of your courage.
Ви успішні не через обладнання, але через вашу відважність.
So, I thank you, and the world is watching, and the world is watching because we cannot allow Vladimir Putin to succeed here, because if he succeeds here, he will succeed in other countries.
Я вам дуже дякую.
І весь світ за цим слідкує.
І весь цим світ за цим слідкує, тому що ми не можемо дозволити
Let the money laundering games begin.
Володимиру Путіну тут перемогти. Адже якщо він тут переможе, він зможе це зробити і в інших країнах.
And they got applause. They also got awards on that trip. You know, it's just insane, right? That this stuff is going on. Here, just this week, just the other day, I think it was yesterday or the day before, Alexander Ocasio-Cortez and Stephen Colbert are blaming Russia for the impeachment efforts of Joe Biden.
Republican Congressman Mike Turner and Michael McCaul said that Russian propaganda has infected the Republican Party's base and the Republicans in Congress were repeating Russian propaganda on the House floor. Can I get a witness? Have you seen this? And what do you make of that kind of self-accusation?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you turn on any House over...
As soon as you start a sentence with, yeah, I mean, you know, if you turn on...
Oversight hearing in the last year, you will see Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert and all these folks engaged in wildly propagandistic rhetoric. And
propagandistic.
I mean, even let's just rewind a second. We just went through an impeachment attempt on the President of the United States that was started with a source that Republicans used that was in communication with Russian intelligence. So you have not just the bottom bench here. You have the chairman of the House Oversight Committee, Representative Comer, take quote-unquote evidence, an account from someone who was working with the Russian intelligence and tried to impeach and remove the President of the United States over it. This is serious.
How did they not know that, or did they know that this was connected to the Russians? Or did they not figure that out because they hadn't translated from the Cyrillic?
That, I think, is a very excellent question for Chairman Comer. Because
he won't come on.
I mean, it is a good question, because when they hauled us all into the skiff, which is a confidential space to look at this, we were looking at this document, and it's like, is this for real right now? And they proceeded. And so what they felt was in good faith or bad faith, I don't know. But I do think that it is immensely serious that something got to this extent and got this far and has been platformed to the extent that it has. And thankfully, under Ranking Member Jamie Raskin, we were able to stop them in their tracks as well.
So, you know, let's not forget that they impeached Donald Trump over a perfectly good phone call with Zelensky, where he was trying to look into the corruption that's going on in Ukraine. So we got Rob from Utah on the line. Rob, what say you?
I'll be quick. I just wish that woman wouldn't think.
She doesn't think.
It's horrible. It's horrible to listen to that woman. The whole state of New York, especially in the city, is... You know, I was talking to a friend of mine who lives there, or works in there, lives in the suburbs of New Jersey. He was talking to me yesterday. He's like, I am watching New York City crumble right now. The businesses are leaving. He says, there's grown men standing on the street corner all day long. And I had to tell him, I was like, you're paying for them to stand on the street corner. They're getting 3 square meals. They got a $5,000 credit card in their pocket. And they're staying in a 5-star hotel. While you and I go to work.
What do you make of the $20 minimum wage out in California for flipping burgers?
It's making the state of Utah real estate explode in cost. And this has been going on for a long time. I think Gavin Newsom's going to be in for a real rude awakening when, you know, he lets China take over most of his state.
Are you suggesting a lot of Californians are moving to Utah?
Oh, they've been doing it for 35 years since I've lived here. It's just been
okay. Okay, then Rob, let me ask you another question. Then, why does it then that if people are leaving California, U.S. citizens are leaving California in droves, and they're going to Florida, they're going to Texas, they're going to Utah, right? They're going to Nevada, they're going to Arizona. Why then are they getting more delegates, and why is it that they're getting more federal aid to support a growing population in California?
The border's wide open, and the illegals are pouring in there.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Yeah, that's why it's happening.
It's so obvious, isn't it? Isn't it just so obvious? Why won't people do something about it in California?
Well, I think they try to do things. I think you got a rigged election over there. You have George Soros' voting machine that they're using. They've been using them for decades. Pelosi keep getting reelected. I mean, there's your answer. That's how
right.
She keeps getting reelected.
Right. And, well, we're going to go ahead and take. We have to take another caller. But
all right. Take care, my friend.
Thank
have
you.
A good day.
All right. Okay. So we got who's calling?
Oh, this is Don in Gold Hill, Oregon.
Okay. Hey, Don.
Great show this morning. I try to deal with broader overviews of, let's call it political evolution, because we find that going back to the founding of the U.S., there was great humility among the population, because at that time, people were at war with the environment, working against weather for your crops and invading tribes of the natives or marauding French and English trying to take over this real estate, because wars are about real estate, aren't they? After all, that's ultimately it. And now we've become so self-sufficient that we control, and if there's a famine here, we can truck in food and grain and water. FEMA, now we live to support parts of our population against catastrophes. And no longer is it a representative government where we send our representative to represent our wishes. But it's a total control regime where there are crimes now that are called thought crimes. And if you admit to having had a particular attitude before a crime is committed, you get a more severe sentence because it's a hate crime. All crimes are probably hate crimes, but we've nuanced our legal system now to where there is really only a technical protection of rights. And the conclusion to what I'm trying to share here is that we've lost the divine imprimatur, that if America came about not by accident or a bunch of guys getting together and have a club for a government, but that there was this divine protection from ultimate overthrow, and we went along for hundreds of years, and now, just like ancient Israel and ancient Judah, the dual sins of adultery and idolatry drove their culture, and until they lost the Torah for a long time, and they discovered it in the temple one day, and it reoccurred. So now you have these clowns like Lindsey Graham, and I don't know that he's really a Republican. He's a true rhino. And Donald Trump represents to me this solid turn to objective reality and objective morality. And that's where he's lived his whole life, effectively. And, he really likes women, and he really likes expensive toys. But through it all, he always paid the people who worked for him. He took care of his employees. There's a whole host of reasons why I've done my research on this, but the creator no longer has a place in Americans' hearts or its government, and we've turned to these alien religions, if you would, and religion doesn't have to have a name. It's a trend in culture right now of very idolatrous, and now we don't know, even the Republicans can't tell you what right and wrong is. It's all situational ethics.
Yes. And, so yeah. Situational that's ethics. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
So, in conclusion, people have not learned to ask the right questions. They don't have the heart to save a government that could serve all of humanity and has. But now we only, if you look at what we do with money, this Biden was the tool sent in to destroy your savings. Inflation is the enemy, and he is involved in foreign entanglements. There's no reason to think Ukraine is righteous. For the last 14 years, they were the bad boy in Europe, and they knew that they were street thugs, but now they're righteous, and Russia's the boogeyman. Well, you know, I don't think we should hate Russia. It's always been a country burdened with centralized government that's oppressive, simply oppressive. But now, why can't we identify the real enemies of our republic, which would be China? And we've taken all of their stuff in here. They're selling America piecemeal to the communist Chinese. This is wrong. I think it's like a cancer, and Americans focus on their idiosyncratic, but they're egocentric, and everybody has their own little billywhack. And I can't sensitize even my own little circle to real goals, which is, you know, save the republic and prevent the invasive, you know, they're tracking everybody with their cell phones. And it's funny. I laugh at this because you carry the cell phone. You're never without it. So they're listening to your conversations. And I'm not going to get into the silly little...
No, because we have to wrap it up, actually, because we're running out of time.
Thank you. Great show this morning. And we always knew who Lindsey Graham was.
Yeah.
So is there some surprise here?
Yeah, rather than calling him a rhino, I think he's a neocon. Just a flat-out neocon.
Okay. The first
you
job...
You know, like a warmongering, military-industrial complex, money-laundering scumbag is what he is.
Well, listen, so thanks for your dedication and exposing the fringes of truth. I think there's a greater reality out here that few are grasping. And they turn to religion as a sort of a balm to make them feel okay with what the corruption going on.
Yeah.
And bigger government is the answer to a few things. Thank you.
All right. Hey, thank you. Take care. All right. Okay. Well, that's very passionate. I like that situational ethics. Situational ethics. That's like, that's crazy. Hey, speaking of money. Your money is worth less today than it was when Trump was in office. The new CPI, this is a big number. So March CPI, that's the Consumer Price Index, inflation just came in, rates rises to 3.5% above expectations of 3.4%. Core CPI inflation was 3.8 above expectations of 3.7. The expectations were already elevated. This is higher. 3.4 was what they were talking about. They were expecting 3.4. That means there's going to be no rate cuts this year from the Fed. The Fed, I can't stand the Fed anyway. I don't think that they belong anywhere near money. We need a gold standard is what we need. But this is a startling number. And you know why it is? You want to know why it is? It's because of Joe Biden. And I can tell you why. It's his ridiculous spending packages. Every time he does something with student loan forgiveness or even the Ukraine war and money going out to Ukraine, money going out to Hamas, money going out to Israel, money going out to student loan forgiveness, money going out to all these illegal migrants. You know, when they give money, they give like $75 million to an illegal migrant. Guess what? They are in essence, printing money and inserting it into an economy. We got a caller. Caller, you're on the air?
I normally don't watch the news, but when I do, it's local news. And they had, I think it was Michael Knowles who was going up to the University of Utah to speak. And, of course, all the freaks and radicals showed up. And one thing that happened is that they had on the news this woman with, I don't know, purple hair or whatever. She says, there's no room for hate speech on the University of Utah. And I thought, that is an incredibly deceitful method for disarming and shutting up your opponent.
In other words, censorship.
Exactly. Anything you don't agree with morally or
it's called hate speech. And we're going to outlaw hate speech. Yeah, right.
Exactly. Exactly. So that's all I got. Just want to make a quick note.
Where are you calling? What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Bruce from Utah. And I agree with Rob. They're Californians are ruining this state. So.
All right. Thank you. All right. Take care.
We'll see you.
All right. Bye-bye. Wow. Okay. So, all right. So we got this. So, again, I just stated this is a big number. March, this just came in. March CPI inflation rate rises to 3.5%. You're going to be hearing a lot of news about this, folks. Above expectation of 3.4%. Core CPI, Consumer Price Index. Tomorrow, there's going to be the Producer Price Index, PPI. And that is going to be a foreshadow of the next CPI. So core CPI inflation was 3.8, above expectations of 3.7. Gosh, we're going to go ahead and do like a call show today, I guess. But we have another caller calling in. Caller, you're in the air.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Donna from California.
Okay.
I really love your show. I wish I don't know how to ask it, but I don't seem to see your little Paul Preston for over a week.
Yeah, I think he's coming back. He's just had health, you know, some personal issues. Not to worry.
Oh, okay. Anyway, I love listening to your show, so I'm going to get off. Okay.
Oh, hey, thank
you. They're
great. All right, take care. All right. Well, that's great that people are calling in. I love it when I get calls from people that I haven't called in a while. This also writes, this is the 36th consecutive month with inflation above 3% and second straight monthly increase. What happened to the Fed pivot? This is the first two-month increase in CPI inflation since September 2023, after another hot inflation print. It is unlikely we see any rate cuts before quarter three 2024. Of course, the Fed, I think it's going to get worse. Again, they're throwing money, student loan forgiveness, illegal migrants. Everybody that gets free money is spending that money and propping up an economy that's basically a house of cards built on sand. That's what it is. And so everybody sort of knows it. Now, the stock market is reacting in a way that's, I think, rigged. But this is having an impact on housing market because there's creating artificial pressure on supply, creating a demand. Millions of illegals are creating a demand because they have to eat. They have to sleep. You know, so they're given money by the government and they're injecting it into the economy. And these corporations are like, great, you're basically stimulating these demand side to help my supply side out and make me prosper. It's basically like giving customers, you know, but it's absolutely rigged. So after another hot inflation print, So this is all about printing money, is what he's talking about there. This is huge, folks. This is bad news. But anyway, we got this Mayorkas open border chaos. Let's take a listen to, we're going to take a listen to Maria Bartiromo talking about this issue about the Mayorkas impeachment. And let's take a listen.
And President Biden now claims that he's examining what kind of power he has to shut down the border. I mean, examining, you're the commander-in-chief. You walked into the Oval Office in 2021 and you overturned all of Trump's security. Right. There's your power.
Well, 3 years into it, he's starting to examine what he can do.
Let's be clear. 6 months before the next election.
Right. Let's sharpen that pencil. And as you commented earlier, Maria, there were over 90 presidential decree isn't the right word, but that he unwound, which President Trump had put in place, which gave him power, and he purposely unwound them. It's so insincere. It's so transparent. It's insincere and it's transparent. It's insincere because you know that there's an agenda there. It's transparent because you can see what the agenda is. And the agenda, as we are all discussing, is buying votes. Imagine being so desperate for power that you are willing to support the entry of criminals into this country because you want their vote. It's sick.
It's not just Joe Biden. It's the Democrats as well. Chuck Schumer. Okay. House Speaker Mike Johnson is delaying sending the articles of impeachment to the Senate purposely because he's trying to get around to what Chuck Schumer is going to do. This, of course, is going to delay the trial of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, and it's going to delay it until next week. The reason is the Senate Republicans are warning that Majority Leader Chuck Schumer was planning on tabling the trial ahead of the weekend and then sending everybody home, sending the senators home. President Biden telling Univision in a new interview that Republicans are responsible for this border crisis, and he claims he's looking into a border executive order. Watch this.
We're examining whether or not I have that power. I would have that power under the legislation when the border has over 500,000 people, 5,000 people a day trying to cross the border because you can't manage it, slow it up. There's no guarantee that I have that power all by myself without legislation.
What is he talking about, Lee?
He's so full of it. This is beyond incompetency. This is on purpose. This crisis at the border has been done deliberately, as Adam just pointed out, and you did earlier, Maria, actions on day one of this administration. He proved on day one he knows his powers. How can he be researching or asking around for what powers he has when he himself has already put signature down on paper to unroll executive orders on day one, stopping construction of the border wall, attacking our Customs and Border Patrol agents, getting rid of Remain in Mexico, ramping up catch and release. He got rid of Title 42 without a replacement. These actions were done by the executive branch unilaterally on their own. President Biden does not.
That's absolutely true. Executive order 42, right? Article 42, what was it called? Let's take a listen to these policies again. But Title 42, they didn't have a replacement. That was the key. Like, okay, you're going to get rid of Title 42. That's fine if you have a better replacement. But he didn't have one. By the way, the person you're listening to, Lee Zeldin, I've heard from some interesting sources that Lee Zeldin is being considered as a VP pick. And he's a New Yorker from Long Island. And he was a Trump supporter when it wasn't cool. And he pretty much hurt his career by, you know, sticking with Trump. And he was a stalwart in the Congress. And then he ran for governor and didn't win against Hochul. But he is loved by New Yorkers. And with him on the ticket, Trump might be making a run for New York. With RFK being a New Yorker and running, could pick up 10-20% away from Biden. Trump is trending because of Eric Adams, because of the lawfare that's going on in New York, and the fact that people hate the politicians in New York, and they probably don't have as well of a election rigging mechanism in New York right now, because they never really had to contest New York. They only put the election rigging systems into place in battleground states where it's a margin that they can actually rig. So it's very possible that Trump is going to give speeches in the Bronx and Queens and elsewhere and make a run for New York. And Lee Zeldin, being on the VP ticket, could get him an extra 10 points RFK could take 10 points away from Biden at least. And there you have an upset in the making. And then that also trickles out to New Jersey as well, especially with what I was talking about the other day with the New York Jets and Woody Johnson being the co-founder, Trump supporter, openly Trump supporter, and then Aaron Rodgers, openly conservative. So you never know what's going to happen there.
Attacking our Customs and Border Patrol agents, getting rid of Remain in Mexico, ramping up catch and release, got rid of Title 42 without a replacement. These actions were done by the executive branch unilaterally on their own. President Biden does not need a new act of Congress in order to secure our border.
Trump did agreements, Carol, with Mexico, Guatemala, Venezuela. He, along with Pompeo, Ratcliffe, I spoke with all of them. I spoke with Ratcliffe, Pompeo, Trump. I know exactly the agreements that they put in place to ensure that any illegals coming here would have to remain in Mexico. Obrador agreed to it. Yeah. Joe Biden walks in and overturns it all. Now Obrador wants $20 billion sent to Latin America to stop everything.
Yeah, it is disgusting. He is the commander-in-chief. He is derelict in his duty to protect the security of this country. He is not doing what it is that he's supposed to be doing, the oath that he's taken to the Constitution. And to Lee's point, there are so many things that he has done that have completely tossed the Constitution to the side, that on this, that's an emergency, this is where he's going to say, oh, I don't know if I have the power. Now, you can cancel student debt, but you don't have the power to secure the border.
Right.
Come on.
I don't think people are buying this. I really don't. But you're right. Student debt, right?
Right.
I mean, there you go. Canceling all those student debt. I mean, who do those Supreme Court justices think they are?
Right.
Really. Let's take a break. We are just getting.
Yeah, that was a really good exchange, though. I wanted to share that with you all. That just happened this morning. Rand Paul, newly obtained documents confirm yet again Fauci lied about COVID. Fauci's NIH lab was a partner with Wuhan on a proposal to engineer a highly transmissible coronavirus in 2018, but he wasn't alone. 15 government agencies knew about it and said nothing. Americans deserve answers. All right, so this is Rand Paul tweeting that. Also, breaking, Rand Paul drops bombshell. Fauci's NIH lab was a partner with Wuhan on a proposal to engineer a highly transmissible coronavirus in 2018. 15 government agencies were involved. The scope of the great COVID cover-up is immense. It turns out officials from 15 federal agencies were aware of, as early as 2018, that the Wuhan lab had ambitions to engineer a coronavirus akin to COVID-19. These officials were privy to the Chinese laboratory intentions to synthesize a virus similar to COVID-19, yet not a single one disclosed the information to the public. Despite being aware of this concerning and hazardous research, these 15 agencies have consistently declined to share any details about it. Representatives from no fewer than 15 federal agencies had been informed about a collaborative project proposed by Peter Daszak's EcoHealth Alliance and the Wuhan Institutional Lab So new documents have been obtained showing that Fauci was in on it. And wow, what a deceitful press, free press we have. So Kim.com writes this. I'm going to cover this one last topic. Whoa, that got louder. Wild times. Russian investigation committee found that Ukraine gas company Burisma, you've heard of that, funded the terror attack in Moscow, the same company that hired Hunter Biden and paid Joe Biden to get the prosecutor fired. Wow, Biden corruption is back in the spotlight. Wow. So Trump was, Jeff Carlson, a guy I totally respect, Trump was effectively impeached because he wanted to look into Joe and Hunter Biden's connections to Burisma. Wow, what a scumbag. And also, tech company headed by former CEO of bankrupt Solyndra to receive $6.6 billion from Biden administration. That's a debt according to John Solomon. Well, that brings us to the end of the Scott Adams Show. Please check out MAGAPAC.org. Make a donation if you'd like to keep the Scott Adams Show commercial free. Use Red State as your promo code over at MyPillow.com. And we'll see you next time on the radio. Bye-bye, everybody. Right up to there.